Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And I do have a hot topic for you today, a sizzling topic on a very powerful aspect in the natal chart. This is an astrological topic. We throw a little metaphysics at you for a while, and then we go back to astrology. Back to astrology. Sounds like another... We're going back to the USSR. Put the music down here. We're talking about the T-square today, and in association with the most powerful, what I feel is the most powerful configuration in astrology, the T-square, the granddaddy of the T-square, the grandma, is the grand square and the grand cross. So I will teach you what that means. I will teach you how to find it to see if you have it. I will try to explain to you whether you can find if other people you know have it. And if you have a T-square or a grand square or a grand cross and you'd like me to look at it today as far as trying to analyze your power complex, which is produced by that aspect and which also shows what we call a configuration of multi-karmic forces that are involved. People with T-squares and grand squares and grand crosses in their chart usually have to work on much more karmic expressions than the rest of us. Frankly, if you don't know what a T-square is, then I'm going to help you figure it out. A T-square, or any square, or any opposition, or any trine or sextile, or any conjunction in astrology is what we call the aspects. Now that is spelled A-S-P-E-C-T-S. Now, with the Earth as a focal point, at any given time, the planets in this solar system, the system of Sol, actually will form angular relationships to each other and the Earth. And these angular relationships, which are totally geometrical, because we're dealing with open angles, obtuse angles, right angles, and such, so if you understand geometry, you'll get aspects down. But these are called aspects. And I do find that if you can imagine an aspect as the blending of the rays of two planets together, and depending on what that angle is, that'll tell us what the aspect is. We can define whether it is a comfortable vibration or whether it is uncomfortable. Now, if it is an uncomfortable vibration, in other words, if there's two planets in the sky when you were born, and one is right up above the Earth, let's say you're standing in the middle of Los Angeles, and you look straight up and the sun is right on top of you, okay, right above you, and then you look to the east and you see the moon is rising. If you pointed one arm at the moon and one arm at the sun, you'll notice that your arms are at a right angle, which is a 90-degree separation. And if we get that right angle or that 90-degree separation, I like to use the example of the sun and the moon because they're easy to see without a telescope, we get what is called a square aspect, which is not too comfortable. When the sun or the moon are at a right angle to each other, or when any planets are at a right angle to each other with the Earth as the focus, we call that a square aspect, and frankly, that is very karmic. It has a lot to do with growth, with debts to the self, with self-esteem, with love, with spiritual balancing within, and also it focuses on selfishness, on obsessions, on desires, and on fixed ideas and values. So if you are able to look at your astroscope, on the third page, we have helped you save some time, and we have listed all your aspects for you, your major aspects. And you will find squares listed in there because most everybody has them. I've got five. And if you're able to understand your squares, you're going to be able to focus that much more on your karma because aspects are extremely metaphysical. So needless to say, if you start studying astrology and get the grasp that the 12 signs of the zodiac form a circle, which is 360 degrees, right? And if you get those signs down in order, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, which is like the ABCs of astrology, you will note that every three signs will form a square aspect no matter where you start, forward or backwards. Let's say you go to Gemini. If you count three signs up, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, then you'll know that that third sign, Virgo, will always, in fact, square Gemini. There's no question about it. If you have a planet at 7 Gemini and you also have a planet at 7 Virgo, then that's called a square. Let's say your Mars is 7 Gemini and your Venus is 7 Virgo. You will have a Venus-Mars square. The karma connected with the meaning of the planets Venus and Mars will be significant in your life's growth. Usually Venus square Mars means karma with the self concerning ideas and values connected to health, love, relationships, sex, and overall temperament, emotions. And when we focus with the two signs the planets are in, Gemini and Virgo in this instance, we throw in the negative elements of both signs, which can be confusion, dispersion, illusion, analysis, worry, left brain philosophies, unable to focus. See, so you can interpret a chart by analyzing the planetary aspects. Now, the square is just one aspect we're going to talk about, but for today's topic, we're going to talk about two of the major aspects, the square and the opposition, which we call the hard aspects. And whereas the square oftentimes can be regarded as unfavorable, I don't see it as such. It represents struggle of two forces at cross purposes. It's like putting a Gemini and a Virgo in one room and hoping they can live together or get along, which can be problems. So when signs square each other, we find that these elements that are being incorporated oftentimes are not familiar. They are, in fact, alien. See, we can back up 3. We can go 3 prior to Gemini and go back Taurus, Aries, and then the sign before Aries, the last sign, is Pisces. So we find Virgo squares Gemini on one side, Pisces squares Gemini on the other. Each sign is squared by 2 other signs. So you can go through all 12 signs and find out that Cancer is in fact squared by Aries and by Libra. Leo is squared by, on the one side by Scorpio and the other side by Taurus. Virgo, we already know, is squared by Gemini on one side and Sagittarius on the other. Libra is squared by Cancer on one side and by Capricorn on the other. And Scorpio goes on and on. We know it's already squared by Leo on one side, it's squared by Aquarius on the other. And Sagittarius is squared, as we know, on the one side, 3 signs back, by Virgo, and also on the other side by Pisces. See, and then it goes on and on. Capricorn is squared by Libra and also by Aries. And Aquarius is squared by Taurus and Scorpio. And then Pisces is squared by Sagittarius and Gemini. And then Aries is squared by, if you're recording this show, it's invaluable. You can make a flow chart for yourself there. Aries is squared by Capricorn and Cancer. And then Taurus is squared, of course, by Leo and Aquarius. And it goes on and on. And I talked about Gemini first. So we find each sign has 2 signs that square it. So by knowing what signs square your planets, you'll know where some of the karma and stress can come in. Now, the other aspect that we're talking about on today's show, in order to form what is called the T-square, or the grand square, is the opposition. And the opposition occurs, the planetary aspect called opposition, occurs when planets are exactly opposite each other in the zodiac. It's at a 180-degree angle, which is like if you were standing there and the sun was rising in the east and the moon was setting in the west, and you pointed at each, you'd have your arms out in a straight line. Whereas the square is an angle that's a right angle, the opposition is a straight line, where one planet is going to one end of infinity and the other planet is going to the opposite end of the infinity with the Earth in the middle. Now, the opposition is intense, because the karma of an opposition means this is the person that is the risk taker. This is the person that has oppositions in their chart that will take challenges, that can be competitive, that will try to climb the mountain and swim the deepest sea and take on situations that may seem impossible, but oftentimes they not only will not lose hope, they won't give up hope until they're somehow even tortured or martyred from a situation. So when we have oppositions in our chart, these are people that tend to create a lot of substance in their life, a lot of materialism, and a lot of karma to be maintained. Whereas those of us with squares just have to deal with growing up and being mature. People with oppositions are dealing with major episodes like real estate, mortgages, marriages, family, children, relatives, boats. So we find people like Howard Hughes and Elvis Presley and Donald Trump and these guys that just go completely berserk. They're loaded with oppositions in their chart. They're loaded. And when you have one or more oppositions in your chart, now you know why you want so much. Or now you know why it's so important to get yourself in hot water with people. So once you're there, it seems impossible to get out. Okay, now, here's the beauty of this topic. The beauty of this topic, everybody, 99% of us have squares in our chart, and 99% of us have oppositions in our chart. But what about those people that have an opposition in their chart, like a sun-moon opposition? Let's say the sun is in Aries, and the moon is in Libra, in your birth chart. Now, knowing that Aries and Libra are both squared by Cancer, if you happen to have a Cancer or the Capricorn planet, which is the other sign that squares both Aries and Libra, let's get this straight, your sun's in Aries, your moon's in Libra, and all of a sudden we find out you have Mars in Cancer. Whoa. So that Mars in Cancer, it's like holding on to two tow ropes. Those two tow ropes is the square to the sun on the left in Aries and the square to the moon to the right in Libra. And here's Mars in Cancer trying to hold those two squares up. And meanwhile, the sun and the moon are both opposition each other. That's a T-square. When one planet is squaring two other planets that are opposition each other. And that is what we call a power complex in astrology. These people are some of the most powerful people you'll ever meet. Warriors, leaders, kings, queens, empire builders. And not only are these people used to getting their way and used to conquering a lot in their life and creating massive amounts of essence in their life, property perhaps, but they also are masters of creating a lot of karma that needs a ton of maintenance. So if you meet someone, or if you do in fact have a T-square in your chart, where one planet in your chart is squaring two other planets that are both opposition each other, then you're there. I'll give you an example. Let's say you got a Leo planet, and that Leo planet is squaring on one end a planet in Scorpio, on the other hand a planet in Taurus, and you know Taurus and Scorpio are opposites, so those Taurus-Scorpio planets will opposition each other, and that will be what we call a fixed T-square, are one of the more stubborn, sometimes arrogant, dictatorial people you may ever meet. So the lesson of the fixed T-square is to be humble, to be giving, to be kind, to be cooperative, to be compromising, and to let go. Now, we take a look at the other fixed T-squares would be anchored in any one of the four signs, three out of the four, right? Because you need 3 points in a T-square. Of Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio. Those are the fixed signs. Leo is fixed fire, the most stubborn, powerful, arrogant of the fire signs. And Aquarius is fixed air. That's the most stubborn, powerful, and arrogant of the air signs. And then Scorpio is fixed water, as we know, also strong. And Taurus is fixed earth. These are people that say never say die, even though they're dying in the meantime. So that's the fixed T-square. Now, the cardinal T-square will occur when any three out of possible four signs are affected in the grouping of Aries, the cardinal fire, Cancer, the cardinal water, Libra, the cardinal air, or Capricorn, the cardinal earth. And we call the cardinal signs the initiators, the volunteers, the go-getters, whereas the fixed signs are the ones that manage and lead and dominate and direct and control. The cardinal energies are like what we call the freight train to hell. It's like, gotta get up, gotta get out, let's go, 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 go. You know, it's just, don't even think about it, just do it. So let's say if you have three out of four of those signs, like if you have Moon in Aries and Rising in Cancer, and then you have Saturn in Capricorn, and they're all hovering right around the same number. See, numbers are important here, because when we talk about aspects, we are talking also about what we call orbs. Aspects given actually on this show are strongest when the numbers are the same. Like a planet in Leo at 10 and a planet in Aquarius at 10 and a planet in Taurus at 10 would be called an exact T-square, are very intense. But you see, in this topic we can go plus or minus 8 degrees. So if the focal point planet, the planet that is being squared by both, is at 10 degrees, then it'll pick up squares from the other two planets if they go all the way back to 2 or all the way up to 18. See, so we're dealing with a 16-degree total aura around any one planet in a T-square. Let's make this clear, which means if you have a planet in Taurus at 2, like your moon, you got a planet in Leo at 10, like your sun, and you have a planet in Aquarius at around 9, then they'll all be T-square each other. Now see, we can't go beyond 10. You know why? Because if we go beyond 10, then that 12 planet will still be squaring the Leo planet at 10, but it'll be out of orb, out of aspect to the one at 2. You understand my point there? Now if we had two planets at 10, let's say we had another fixed T-square, Leo sun at 10, Scorpio moon at 10, well, then we could go to a Taurus planet that can be anywhere from 2 Taurus up to 18 Taurus to catch that T-square. So I know that's a little complicated. That's why I asked you to record these shows. Now, the cardinal T-square would be if you had any planets in Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, 3 out of 4 to make that T-square. The mutable T-square, so we call the cardinals the freight train to hell, the mutable signs are sometimes known as the weaker signs of the zodiac only because they're not as controlling as the fixed and they're not as freight trainish as the cardinal. They're more like submissive and passive. But I do call that more spiritual, actually. So stronger in the spirit but weaker in the material are the mutable signs. And you know, of course, the analysis of the mutables will vary, but typically they can be confused, indecisive, over-analytical, and sometimes too independent or too standoffish. In general, the mutable air is Gemini, the mutable fire is Sagittarius, the mutable earth is Virgo, and the mutable water would be Pisces. And each one of these signs, you know, can be in a square or an opposition aspect to the other, which would form a mutable T-square. And that would mean that if you had a moon in Pisces, and you had Jupiter in Sagittarius, and then you had Mars in Gemini, then that would form a mutable T-square. And frankly, you know, what we do when we look at these T-squares is we become aware that the karma here is a lot more intense than most people are used to. So whereas the fixed T-square might get themselves in trouble with the empire they might create, a cardinal T-square might get themselves in trouble because of situations and the schedules and the responsibility they create. The mutables might get themselves in trouble, the mutable T-square, because they pass the buck. Or when they do make the choice, it's wrong. So that's really important to know too. Now, a couple things to know about the T-square also is if you have normal squares in your chart, see, all of us go through what we call T-square transits. See, I have a big block of Leo planets, and they are in square to my Scorpio moon. So whenever there's a planet in the sky that's in Aquarius, oppose my Leo and square my moon, then I go through what's called a T-square transit, which is also can be a real bummer. Same with Taurus. If there's a planet in Taurus, it'll oppose my Scorpio moon and square all my Leo planets. So even if you're not born with a T-square in your chart, if you have squares in your chart, you will go through T-square transits, which can be a bitch. Because you'll find yourself either overloaded with too much responsibility, too much authority, or too much confusion, depending what angle is being set off. The final part of this topic is to let you know about the grand square. Because if you are the lucky winner of having all 4 points covered in either a fixed aspect, where you happen to have all the fixed signs, Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, and Scorpio, you have a planet in Leo, a planet in Taurus, a planet in Scorpio, and a planet in Aquarius in your chart, when you draw the squares in, which are red, it'll make a nice red square or a nice red box on your chart. And that is called a grand square. If you're lucky, all the points of those squares will be opposite each other, which is what we call the grand cross. Now, my mother has a grand square and a grand cross in her chart, and my friend Roger Reinhardt has a grand square and a grand cross in his chart, and John F. Kennedy had a grand square and a grand cross in his chart, and a lot of pretty incredible people have that aspect. And it also happens to be the symbol of the nation of Atlantis, the Atlantean flag. The symbol of the Atlantean flag was the grand square and the grand cross, symbolizing that one of the most powerful beings in the universe because of the karma they have embraced at birth. Same thing with the cardinal grand square and grand cross. If you just so happen to have Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn covered in your chart around the same degree, it'll form a nice box with a nice cross. And same with the mutable grand square and grand cross. If you happen to have Pisces, Sag, Virgo, and Gemini covered, that'll do the same. Now, once in a while, you will find some overlappings in signs. You know, I got some person that'll say, well, Farley, I have a moon at 29 Pisces, and I have Mars at 29 Virgo, and I have Sun at 29 Gemini, but I don't have anything in Sag. I happen to have Jupiter at 2 Capricorn, though. It's still an orb. It's still in orb, and it's still called a mutable grand square and a grand cross because Jupiter is still in the aura of the sign preceding Capricorn, Sagittarius. If it's at 2 degrees, it's still in the aura of the last 6 degrees of Sag, so it qualifies for grand square and grand cross, and that's what we call overlapping. Now, if you have T-squares, grand squares, or grand crosses in your chart, or you're going through a T-square, grand square, or grand cross transit, you should call me today and let me look at it for you. This is an opportunity for us to understand your power complex and your intense karma and try to explain why you've tried to get so many past lives rolled up into one.